Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Going to get to the Junkies Blitz momentarily, but we were kicking this around during the break. I guess Valdez told Drab that a lot of Commanders fans are rooting against Caleb Williams because, in a way, it props Jaden Daniels up a little
bit. Isn't that kind of petty?
It's just something I noticed.
I see move.
It is petty, but it's something I noticed. There's people taking glee in Caleb struggling, and especially
I am for sure because I'm just kind of out on his off the field antics. Which again, you know, I don't care about Abrams. I just don't like some of the off the field stuff. It annoys me. Painting the fingernails.
Right.
What are you doing?
But people are rooting against him because they want to be right. They want they want Adam Peters to make the right decision and taking Jaden.
But Peters didn't have a choice.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, they want to feel like they won the debate, I guess.
It's not like they bypassed Caleb Williams. They didn't have the opportunity to draft him.
They might have taken him. I'm sure they'll never tell you the truth.
It's just something I noticed with fans, and then I ran it by Marr, who is the number two Redskins fan on the show behind Eric.
Yeah.
And he goes, I definitely take some glee in Caleb struggling.
I definitely do too. But also because we did the whole quarterback ranking thing, and Marv was part of that, wasn't he? Did you rank him?
No, I didn't rank any of them.
We ranked
them. He just provided the boards.
And I think I had Jaden number one on my board.
I might have been the only one that had Caleb one.
The guy who's,
did anybody else have Caleb one?
I'd have to recheck my board.
Jason had Drake May one.
I think I had Caleb one.
Yeah,
because I'm a shrewd talent evaluator. The other person is really rooting for Caleb to perform poorly is it at first round mock?
Who we yes.
Have? Like, he's made a brand out of saying Caleb Williams is going to struggle in the pros.
Yeah.
Like, that's his thing on Twitter. And look, it's early. It's 3 weeks. But so far, his brand is pretty accurate.
Well, he also had Spencer Rattler number one.
Understood.
Like, above Jaden Daniels,
Jimmy,
above everybody.
When you're predicting hits or misses, you're going to have both hits and misses in the NFL draft game. It just happens.
So, Caleb has thrown... that first interception was... He obviously made the decision to throw that route when he got out of the huddle.
Mm-hmm.
And the corner was just sitting on it, waiting for it as he threw it. And that happens at times. I saw this from Josh Allen. We all want to judge guys early. It's natural. I do it maybe even faster than most of you guys usually. But I saw Josh Allen say this about Caleb Williams. He says, he's played a lot of big-time games, whether it was at Oklahoma or USC. I think he understands the game. Obviously, the first couple of games in your NFL career, if they don't go your way, it doesn't mean it's going to define your career.
Right.
And then he goes on to throw in some cliches. I think he's going to keep working hard, playing football the way he knows how to play the game. I think he's missed on some throws, which he can make. Like, he had Odunze. That would have been a tough throw when he was rolling to his left. And he missed him. And I think, in the first game, he had a touchdown pass, which was dropped. I think his stat lines could be different. The interception's troubling, but I also just think it's a rookie. Most of these rookies are struggling. Bo Nix hasn't thrown a touchdown. He had a good game yesterday. Still doesn't have a touchdown pass. Jaden Daniels ran into in the first game. Still doesn't have a touchdown pass. Maybe it'll change tonight. But the rookies are struggling.
Well, it's three games in.
I actually don't think Jaden Daniels is struggling. I would not. I would argue. Jay
I wouldn't
Daniels
lump him in with
Nix
and Williams. Like, I know that was a popular story last week, was to highlight the fact that they hadn't thrown any touchdowns yet. But Jaden's rushed for two, and he's run the offense pretty effectively as it's been presented to him.
Well,
the touchdowns are going to come.
Well, all right, he's also thrown the ball half the amount of times.
Understood. True.
So Caleb Williams is second in the league in attempts. A young quarterback, if you're going to ask him to throw the ball 118 times,
you know what? Blame Shane Waldron.
Now,
the finger
that's
right
the
at
same
him.
Thing we said about Sam Howell.
Yeah.
And everyone said, it's just Sam Howell because, you know, he's a fifth-round draft pick or whatever. But see, it even happens with the number
one
overall.
And I understand
overall.
Why he's throwing the ball a lot. Look at their backfield. DeAndre Swift's done nothing.
He's done nothing. He's
Roshan
a big
Johnson
dud.
And Khalil Herbert. Like, it's just a weird mix there that's not effective. So they have to put it on his shoulders early, which is what they don't want to do. Like, if they had a stud running back, if they had Kyren Williams back there instead of the three guys I just mentioned, might look different. would be a different story, but
so,
they don't.
So even now, look, Jaden's played one less game, obviously, because he's playing tonight, but Knicks is fourth in the league in attempts. Mm-hmm. Caleb, like I said, is second.
Right.
So even if Jaden throws the ball 25 times tonight, he's still going to be 30 or 40 back of those guys in terms of attempts. If, the more you throw it, you're going to throw picks.
But that's good. I like that. That's where people should be praising Cliff Kingsbury. I know there have
been
a lot of people
run,
are attacking him because of all the throws that are so close to the line of scrimmage. How about you give him kudos for not overloading his rookie quarterback?
Sure.
With you know a bunch of exotic passing concepts when he's not if he's not ready for them or if they're not becoming available down the field.
We'll also remember this part of it, and believe me. I hate it as much as anybody. I'm sitting there going, this, we got to get more creative.
Sure.
But, as I pointed out earlier, our defense is so mediocre that short passes just keep the clock running, stay in bounds, maintain possession, have 9-minute drives. Yeah, he's not
Cliff's
stupid.
Well aware of how bad the defense is.
Right. So
sees it every day.
That's part of the design, too.
Of course.
You know, we just can't afford to not have the ball.
Yeah, and again, I think you're going to see another heavy run-centric approach tonight. If they get out to a 30-10 lead, and then you have to throw to try to get back, you're going to see them running the ball again.
And we're coming off a great game for Brian Robinson. I don't know where that ranks in his career, but that's got to be up there.
He's looked fantastic so far.
That's got to be up there. Eckler's looking great. Ertz is looking great while he stays healthy. So
they almost lost game two. Like you're sounding like this Commanders team, and maybe they're going to be fine. Like this Commanders team is in really good shape, and Jaden is playing this great football. If they lose tonight, which most of us expect, they're going to be 1-2, and they could have lost against the Giants, but for Malik Nabers drop.
I didn't say any of that. I just said Jaden Daniels is not struggling.
I know, but you started whipping off, this guy's looking great, this guy's looking great, this guy's looking great. I mean, well,
it doesn't matter. The three guys out of 50.
He's not struggling like these other two in terms of the statistical part of it, like the ints. But if he was asked to throw the ball more, he could have two or three or four picks.
Listen,
He's also played one less game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's played one less. That's what I'm saying. But if he's throwing the ball 120 times in three games, he's going to throw picks. Caleb Williams has thrown the ball 118 times.
He's not going to go through his entire rookie season and not throw picks.
Right. Of course. But my whole thing with Caleb is I think overall he's just more of a freelancer. I think this is what you're going to see from him. Maybe. Up and down. Maybe he'll lock in and get rid of some of this stuff. But this is what he did in college. He ran around and tried to create a lot of stuff sometimes.
That's true.
Well, sure. People compared him to Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes does a lot of that. You got to hit some of those. Right.
I don't think he's Patrick Mahomes, okay, until proven otherwise. I see why you're saying that, but...
Because of style of play? Yeah. It's hard to compare him to Patrick Mahomes.
Is he going to have that elite touchdown interception ratio and be that that big of a freelancer? I doubt it.
I think he's going to rein some of the freelancing in, even though that's a huge part of his game. I think he's going to realize that he can't be that big of a freelancer in the NFL. Got away with it at SC in Oklahoma. Look,
it's a hard position, man.
Sure. It's the hardest position.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's the hardest job in
the
world.
So I'm not surprised at all that these guys are struggling. You know me. I think 50% of them are going to be just okay, if not busts.
Yeah, I think they're a pretty good crop. But we'll see. We'll see. I haven't even seen,
I'm kind of stunned.
May.
I know this is a tangent.
May or Penix.
I'm stunned at how bad Anthony Richardson has looked.
I'm not stunned.
I thought Anthony Richardson would look better.
That was the knock
has.
On him in college.
I know.
He's not a good passer. He's a runner. He's an athlete.
He didn't play much.
Played 1 year.
Yeah.
You know what? Since you bring it up, let's get into the Junkies Blitz brought to you by Offenbachers. Visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis. They have a huge selection of hot tubs, swim spas, fire pits, pool tables, and outdoor furniture. So what do we learn on Sunday in week 3? Since you bring up Anthony Richardson, I think the larger takeaway is the young quarterbacks are struggling.
Yep.
Caleb Williams, in that game, a couple of interceptions. Anthony Richardson, a couple of interceptions. And by and large, what you're seeing is the value of experience. So the experienced quarterbacks, like Sam Darnold, they're actually playing better than a lot of these young guys who are more hyped.
Darnold, well, true. I mean, just efficient yesterday, 17 for 28,
yeah.
Didn't even pass for 200 yards, 181, but four touchdowns and no picks, took care of the ball, didn't turn it over to the Texans. They throttled Houston. That game wasn't even close.
And the Flores defense
CJ Stroud threw a horrible interception.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was the rookie of the year last year, and we're hyping him. He had a horrible interception. That's what these quarterbacks are going to do. Young quarterbacks are going to do that.
What did we learn?
And you know what? See, some of the veterans, Derek Carr threw a terrible interception yesterday when they had a chance to drive down the field and possibly tie the game up, if not win it.
I think we've learned that Kevin O'Connell can coach.
Yes.
Certainly.
It's his
third season, 13-4 his first season. Last year went sideways, 7-10, but the Vikings off to a 3-0 start. We learned Andy Dalton can still play.
Yeah.
And he made a huge difference to the Carolina offense.
I thought he would make a difference. I didn't think it would be to the tune of over 300 and three passing touchdowns. Like, I didn't think that was going to happen.
That's incredible.
I knew he was capable, but he played like a star.
Well,
yesterday.
Just think about how different the offense looked because he was able to move the ball through the air. Chuba, 114 yards.
He did work.
They were never running the ball that well. When Bryce
Young
was
chipped
there.
in the receiving game too. I think he had 55 yards receiving.
He did. He had five
catches. Deontay Johnson was a monster.
Did you see the report over the weekend? I'm sure you did. Somehow I saw it that multiple teams have inquired about Bryce Young's availability.
Sure.
Even though the Panthers have said they're not trading.
I wonder if the Dolphins are one of those because now they're going to be down to their third string quarterback.
Well, we learned that they are cooked without a quarterback. The Dolphins are.
And if you
fall 1-2, lose to Seattle. Seattle 3-0 start for the Seahawks.
What were you going to say, Drab?
About Bryce Young, the talk last week was, well, how could he possibly succeed with all the trash talent he has around him? There's nobody on that team that can help him out. And then Dalton goes in there and lights it up.
And Deontay Johnson and Chuba.
They look like Pro Bowlers with a savvy QB.
Makes Bryce look even worse.
Makes him work
worse than before.
Those teams aren't calling today, I bet. last week.
But it's another example of
They might be calling about Andy Dalton.
It's another example.
Malik Willis situation.
Of the inexperience versus the experience. You put in an experienced. He was a good quarterback in Cincinnati for many years. I'm about to call him a journeyman, but I think he's better than journeyman.
He was a solid
NFL quarterback.
But he's become a backup.
At the end of his career, like a Flacco.
But it shows you the value of that experience.
Yeah, he has seen everything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
Learned Derrick Henry's not washed, that's for sure.
Oh, I knew that.
That Dallas Cowboys defense... Oof, maybe they missed Dan Quinn. I'm not sure exactly.
They couldn't stop the run last year, remember?
The issue is there. Well, it's certainly continued into this year because they got gouged last week, and the Ravens just completely steamrolled them. Now, I know that the Ravens kind of let them back in it late, but, I mean, that game was out of hand early.
Well, I mean, those first two drives, they just went right down the field.
We saw this against Washington. Malik Nabers is the truth.
He's really good.
Yeah, I mean, he's heavily targeted, acrobatic touchdown catch, his first touchdown.
There are certain guys, like Micah Parsons is one for me, Malik Nabers, where you only need to see him one time, and you go, that guy's the real deal.
Eight catches, 78 yards, two touchdowns. We've goofed on the Giants front office and Daboll and Joe Shane by having Daniel Jones there again.
Yep.
But their thought was, give him a stud receiver and we'll see. Rough first game, but the last two games have been pretty good for Daniel Jones. Four touchdowns, no picks, obviously involving Nabers a ton.
And Nabers targets through three games, 37. That's five clear of Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's more than Amari Cooper, more than Rashee Rice, who's heavily targeted by Patrick Mahomes. So this is going to continue. You're going to see Daniel Jones looking Malik Nabers' way throughout the season.
And that was the plan. The plan was, correct, if we're going to stay with Jones, we got to get him a receiver.
And they did.
And they got him a dog.
Yep. We learned that Saquon Barkley, pretty valuable.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pickup.
How many touchdowns did I predict for the season? I predicted 15. He might be more than that.
He's ahead of the pace.
100%.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
He's run for 351 yards in three games.
He won them the
four
game.
Four touchdowns rushing. He hasn't done a ton receiving wise, he does have one receiving touchdown, but five touchdowns so far for Saquon Barkley. Eagles needed that win. We also learned that the Saints aren't a juggernaut. All that talk about, they almost had 100 points in the first two games.
Well, 47 of those came against the Panthers with Bryce Young at the helm. So maybe that's a little bit counterfeit. Though they did shove it on the Cowboys. Maybe the Cowboys are counterfeit too.
I don't even know who is the offense coordinator of the Falcons, but we learned that he's stupid. Yeah. So last night, Kirk Cousins had a chance to have another game-winning drive.
Zach Robinson?
Look it up.
I think that's correct.
Let me check that.
So the Chiefs have the lead, 22-17.
Zach Robinson, yes. Yeah.
The Falcons get the ball back on their 35, I believe it is, with 2 minutes and 26 seconds left. They start moving the ball down the field on a second down. Kirk hits Drake London just a yard short of the first down. They called a timeout. 1:10 left. They're on the 13-yard line. Have to score a touchdown to win, but you're in a good position to do it. On 3rd-and-1, they're going shotgun and hand it to Bijan. That gets stuffed. Then on 4th-and-1, and actually they were closer. It was probably like 4th-and-a-half. Mm-hmm. They opt not to go tush-push, quarterback sneak. They ran a sweep, which gets stuffed. Chiefs win. They're 3-0. Falcons fall to 1-2.
And by the way, a Chiefs defender was mugging Kyle Pitts in the end zone. Completely mugging him.
They got away with it.
No flag. Yeah. Flag stays in the pocket. Meanwhile, the week before, ticky-tack PI call for the Chiefs. Flag thrown.
I hate to be this guy, but the NFL has an officiating problem. It really does.
I've seen a lot of people say that.
I don't disagree with you.
Like, there's a lot of calls that are impacting games. And it's
or non-calls.
Yeah. It's really bad. And if you watch college football on Saturday, these games are much better officiated than these games on Sunday.
That's surprising because the NFL should have the best.
I would say college games are better officiated than NFL games.
I might say also that NCAA Division I volleyball has an officiating problem because I believe they cheated at Syracuse yesterday. Really? Literally cheated.
But a lot of these calls and non-calls are really impacting games.
Yeah.
And especially because the NFL's designed for teams to kind of be equal and come down to the last play, it's hurting the game. And it's noticeable, too.
Although the Kansas City Chiefs, they were called for 3 defensive penalties on that drive.
Okay, well, the most important one, the one in the end zone, that would have put the ball on the 1 yard line.
Yeah, they missed it.
Wasn't called.
But I don't know what you do to solve it. They're now full-time, right?
Robot refs.
Aren't they getting full-time wages or whatever? They kind of...
You know what? You need full-time cyborgs calling the games.
Last thing to mention, the Steelers' defense is great. So they beat the Chargers 20-10. I know Justin Herbert didn't finish the game. They allowed just 10 points to Atlanta in the opener, 6 points to Denver in week 2, and then 10 to the Chargers. They're giving up just 8.7 points per game.
Yep.
They're only giving up 229 yards per game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The percentage of making the playoffs when you start 3-0 is 76%. So you do the math on that.
Mike Tomlin going to have another winning season.
Who are they playing this week, Cakes?
I think they get the Colts.
That still means a quarter of the time they don't, Jason.
Steelers are at
the Colts. I'm just saying, that's pretty damn good to go 3-0, 76%. I mean, you might want to just chalk it up.
Coming up next, we'll get the Bengals' perspective from Mo Agger, afternoon host on ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati as we talk Monday Night Football, Commanders against the Bengals.